Hello and welcome to another syndicated show right here on DVRadio.net WDVR. The show you are about to hear is the War Dog Trail by none other than Sergeant War Dog himself. Be advised that the first few episodes you'll hear doesn't have the best of quality in relation to audio, but please bear with us as you'll hear about Sergeant War Dog's personal struggles in the military and civilian world, as well as why he began doing what it is he is doing for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for tuning in to DVRadio.net WDVR, and now for the War Dog Trail and Sergeant War Dog.
Let's go to war, baby! Let's go to war, baby!
Steve Jeans, that's what it is.
All I know is war. All I know is shoot. All I want is more. But I got some things to do. I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you. I'm a soldier, I'm a warrior. Got a emblem on my cover. And ask me what I did for ya. I put the trash deep down under. Yeah, I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you,
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, girl. Let's go to war, baby.
Let's go to war.
Hey, this is Sergeant War Dog with Sergeant War Dog TV. Let's go over a quick history. I graduated from high school on May 17th, back in 2002. Less than a month later, on June 11th, I arrived at boot camp for the Marine Corps in Parris Island, South Carolina. After 13 weeks of training, I graduated from boot camp in September, officially became a Marine, went home for 10 days after graduating, and then, I went home to Orlando, Florida, that is. Graduated boot camp, went on to the School of Infantry, also known as SOI, which is in Camp Geiger, North Carolina. After graduating that school, I officially earned the title of 0311, United States Marine Corps Rifleman. Let's see, after graduating from the School of Infantry in November of 2002, I was allowed to go home again for 10 more days. Before reporting in to the Fleet Marine Force at 29 Palms, California, where the Marine Corps has its own Marine Air Ground Task Force. I was assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, Kilo Company, 1st Platoon. Salute.
Let's go to war!
Sergeant War Dog TV. 3 times in Iraq, I knew I was seriously about to get fucked up. Tell you about those 3 times, all right? First time, 2003, March 2003, the night before we crossed the border to go into Iraq when the war started. I was 19, and I was waiting with the other infantry Marines I was with, the other grunts, right? We're the back of an AAV, an amphibious assault vehicle. Out of nowhere, an intel report came over that there were 250 Iraqi tanks waiting at the border. I understand being shot. I accepted being killed, being, you know, hurt in the war. But I never thought about being hit by a motherfucking tank, man. And shit, when I say a tank, man, I mean bullets on that motherfucker up like this damn long.
traveling, you know, your direction hundreds of feet per second, man. I knew I was about to get fucked up real bad. I knew it was gonna hurt. I knew I was about to die very painful and violent. That's what I knew. That report came out, 250 damn tanks were waiting. Remember, I'm an infantry marine, man. I'm on the ground. I'm grunt with it, man. I love to get dirty, man. That's why I'm out here off-grid, you know. Trying to bring the war veterans off-grid, right? Next thing I knew, though, the Air Force came through, man, heavy. The Air Force came through and laid down 10 hours of suppressed gun power, bombing the hell out of those motherfuckers at the border, man. That's why I'm all about one country, one team. Because we all work together, man. Every branch, every organization within the DOD, within the Department of Defense, and then as a whole, man, the country. When it comes to whooping ass and fighting wars, we all come together, each branch, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and that day, for sure. Without a doubt, man, the Air Force came through with a hellfire bombing campaign. And they took out at least 250 tanks at the Iraq border. And I was glad as hell that they were on my side. I can't deny that. I was glad to have the U.S. Air Force on my side. They saved my ass. Within that same story now, within this first occurrence of times I knew I was about to get fucked up in the war, also want to let you know that the Patriot missile, man, Patriot system, made by Lockheed Martin, I believe, right, that missile and fire control facility over in Orlando. When the Iraqis fired a Scud at us, a Scud missile, which could have possibly contained chemicals. Which, again, I pretty much knew it was gonna fuck me up real bad, right? The Iraqis fired a Scud. The Patriot missile intercepted it as it's meant to do and saved the lives of thousands of Marines, man. Thousands that waited on the other side of the Iraq border in Kuwait. As we waited to cross, for those that were there, this is around that time, the day and the night before we crossed the border and entered Iraq, where we had those constant, you know, gas, gas, gas calls, right? Where we, as usual, it's just normal SOP, we needed to have that gas mask donned and cleared within 9 seconds, man. And why? Because your life depends on it. That's why your life depends on it. So look.
Let's go to war!
Hey, we're building a camp here, Sergeant War Dog TV. Right? Calling it the Doghouse. I'm part of a private landowners association where we own our individual camps and then we collectively share nearly 10,000 acres of prime recreational real estate here in Osceola County, Florida, city of Hollipaw. Now, the off-grid trails here are actually nationally known and nationally ranked. The trails here are nationally ranked for ATV riders, UTV riders, and occasionally you even see, you know, Jeep clubs, rolling through one by one in a convoy or other, you know, off-grid or off-road four-wheel drive groups. They come through here a lot also, man, but building a camp from the ground up where I'd like to bring 2 to 4 veterans out at a time. Preferably, I'd say, for 2 to 3 day trips, a weekend. Like to bring veterans off-grid with me to help them utilize some of the skill sets that they picked up that can only be used in a war zone, on a military base, or off grid here with me, man. I have lost Marine brothers to suicide since I was 18. Since I first left the country before the war in Iraq began. I'm trying to do whatever I can to stop it, diminish it, get guys into a semi off-grid war zone location here in Central Florida, where they can just hang out, get things off their mind, war stories, decompress, talk about any issues they've been having in the civilian world after the war, any post-war injuries, any misunderstandings, confusion, conflicts they run into. My major point is, no one understands a war veteran truly except a war veteran. I don't want you to waste your time anymore. Your time resulting in, like I said, confusion or heartache from those friends or family members that you know or you thought knew how much war you went through, or how, you know, crazy and chaotic situations were, or how you can truly pop off and use your deadly training if they or anyone else come at you the wrong way. Any of those issues, man, that you might run into as a civilian, treatment by the VA, treatment by anyone because they don't understand you, what you've been through, who you are, it's the place for you. You need to come off grid. You need to get out here where we're building up a camp. Like I said, calling the camp the doghouse. Eventually we're going to look at acquiring a larger piece of property here where we can accommodate more veterans at a time. And specifically, all right, right now we can only accommodate war veterans. So I need to see your DD-214 actually say that you're a combat veteran. And preferably, I need to work with those that are in the true ground warfare elements, those in the infantry, special ops community. This is the place where you need to be. This is the place where you need to come off grid to. I'm going to have programs, classes set up where we discuss issues such as war anger management. And notice I said, not anger management, but war anger management. Because there's a different flow. There's a different way things take place when you're a war veteran, specifically in the infantry fields, in the special ops community, where you're the person that's kicked in people's doors. You slept on their rooftops. You've seriously engaged the enemy. If it's like me, you happen to get that lucky ticket for 3 tours, 3 years in a row, where I was sent to Iraq as a Marine rifleman in 0311. And please make sure you know, I don't say this whole Sergeant War Dog deal, you know, out of just, you know, making up the name or making up the word, all right? Yes, I was actually a sergeant in the Marines. I was an infantryman in the Marine Corps, 0311, from Orlando, Florida, attended boot camp at Parris Island, South Carolina. And from there, my entire infantry class, my class at the School of Infantry at SOI East, was sent out to California, Southern California, where we were stationed in the Mojave Desert with the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines. I was assigned to Kilo Company, 1st Platoon. I did all three of my tours in Iraq with 3-4 kilo and always in first platoon. We're building up a camp here, man. I need you to know also we're taking the time to turn Sergeant War Dog TV into a 501c3, man. Oh, excuse me. We're fiscally sponsored at this time, 501c3. We are fiscally sponsored by Veterans Awareness and Transition, also known as VAT, V-A-T. It's an amazing veterans group in New Jersey. So at this time, they are truly qualified 501c3. So any donations made to us on their behalf will help us to build up our camp and to get the ball rolling on bringing veterans out here off grid. That's truly all it's about. Bringing guys off grid, man. Sergeant War Dog TV. Salute.
Let's go to war!
I'm Sergeant War Dog, SergeantWarDogTV.com.
Alright.
I'm a U.S. Marine. I'm a rifleman. And I was a former sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. I served three tours in Iraq. I was there the first day the Iraq war began. I was 19 years old when the war began. I'm 35 now. Just turned 35 three days ago. So this channel is basically about what it's like to live the life of a war dog. And for those that don't know, a war dog is not any type of gang. All right, it's not a group, it's not a clique, it's not a fad, it's not some trendy thing that comes and goes. Being a war dog is a lifestyle. Alright. Now, as I told you, I served three tours in Iraq. And I consider myself a war dog because I turned 19, 20, and 21 all while living, fighting, basically pouring my life, my heart, my blood, sweat, and tears into war. So, however your life was, from 19 to 21, I commend you. I salute you. I pat you on the back, baby. But I also want you to, you know, just open your eyes a little bit to what life might have been like for the war dogs. Matter of fact, what it's like for the war dogs even right now that are serving around the world, right? This channel is by Sergeant War Dog myself, but it's not only for military personnel, it's not only for people that have been in war, it's also a channel for the outdoors, for camping, for hunting. I'm a licensed hunter in the state of Florida. I will break down things with you about, you know, things that I've been through in life after the war. I'm not married, and I'm not married with two daughters, right? I want to walk you through the entire line, through the entire, you know, flow of what it's like to go from being 19, sitting at the Iraq and Kuwait border, and being told, hey, we're about to go into that country, about to cross that border. Being told that there are 250 tanks waiting at the Iraqi border, waiting to shoot you, waiting to blow you away. And you know, as a grunt, as an infantryman, I'm sorry if I didn't explain it yet, I am a grunt, proud grunt, baby. I'm a proud grunt, proud rifleman. Right? A part of the infantry field. Had to be. I'm from the city of Orlando. I needed to prove to myself that I could survive. And I needed to run with the big dogs. I needed to run with the varsity, man. And for me, that was the Marines. That was the Marine infantry. That was everyone I look up to in the Marine recon community, the Marine force recon community, the Marine
simple grunt, infantry rifleman, 0311. I served my tours, but my hat's off to all those in the special operations community. I never had the gracious opportunity or the capabilities to make it to that level of mastering the skill set of a warrior. But I have no shame in any form or fashion by showing love to those that can do what I can, those that will go where I can, those that can survive where I can. You will always see me on this channel showing love to any and everyone that can do something or anything that I cannot do. Because that's something I really appreciate, show a lot of love to, man. Any skill that a person has, whether I have it or I don't have it, if they have it and they've learned it, they've got it down pat, and it works, it's efficient, logical, something I can catch on to, I can flow with, I can vibe with, survive with, or I can just, observe, watch, entertain. Hats off to any and everyone that can get down with whatever it is you get down with in your field. After my time in the war, and as an active duty Marine, I went on to college, man. I really felt that I had seen and done everything that I dreamt about doing as a Marine, or that I had ever, thought that I would ever do. From being in the war on the front lines, to seeing yourself on TV, in DVDs, in books. I'll show you two of the books that I'm in. All right, Revolving Around the War in Iraq. Both are available on Amazon. I'll show you those in, at a later time. But from fighting the war, seeing things up close firsthand, I do want you to also really take note to the fact that I grind. I do all this grinding while injured, while hurt, while, dealing with my own, pains and whatnot. And we'll break it down to you now so you know me, the background, hold the foundation. Notice the hearing aids, all right? Hearing aids, both the ears, all right? I've had 5 years now. Like I said, I'm 35. Got these hearing aids when I was 30. I joined the Marines at 18. Why do I have hearing aids? Because I shot big, Yeah, I bust down, major weapons. I carried the M249 squad automatic weapon, commonly known as the SAW. I carried the M249 squad automatic weapon my first two tours in Iraq. The SAW is a beast. I initially somewhat disliked it, hated it. I had a mindset of being, this slick, fast moving rifleman, SWAT guy, CQB, getting in, getting out, corners in and out. When they handed me the SAW, all my SWAT ideas, zooming through things, really changed, because the SAW is an open bore weapon. The M249 squad automatic weapon is an open bore weapon, and open bore weapons don't normally get used first in a doors in a room. So I had to, come to grips with that. I had to come to grips with all the weight that comes with carrying the M249, and it's a part of being a SAW gunner, especially a Marine SAW gunner, or a SAW gunner anywhere in a war zone. All right, in addition to carrying the weapon, firing the weapon, noticing, what the weapon can do, respecting this firepower, respecting what it can do to the enemy, to your own ears, to the fact that it can hold 200 or 100 round drums, right? The weapon's a beast. Like I said, I didn't love it at first, but I did grow to love her with all my heart, because got a good, you know, you got a dope relationship with your weapon when you've given her a name and you treat her, you know, with the same type of respect you treat your queen. Because when it's just you two out there alone, you and your weapons, or you and your buddies, amigos, padres, you all you got. You all you can depend on. So you take care of that weapon. Take care of your team as best you can. That's all your life depended on it. Because your life does depend on it. You dig? It's for the places we go, the places, the things I do. It's a lifestyle for those in the outdoors, for those that are war dogs, for those that are from the ground operating occupations within the military. That that small percentage that can't actually say they touch a weapon more than once a year. If they get out, they do, you know, put in work. They are war dogs. The life they know does revolve around being either at war, in war zones, or revolving around, let's say, low intensity conflicts, low intensity occurrences around the world that are just shy of, let's say, widespread, you know, conventional war, but still require men and women with the war dog skill set mindset to operate, get a job done, take care of your people, bring them home. That's what this channel is all about, man. What war dogs do after the war as husbands, fathers, uncles. I want to also make sure this is very well known. This channel doesn't tolerate any type of intolerance on any level, man. Racial, political, gender, sexual orientation, nationality. I won't stand for it. It's not tolerated, you dig? I don't see color. I don't let color act as a barrier to anything that I want to do or accomplish or people that I want to know, hang out with, or get down with. I'm an open-minded person, and I don't see color, neither does this channel, or anything that I present, that we present. Sorry, no more dog salute, baby.
Let's go to war!
All right. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 5 of the War Dog Trail with the one and only Sergeant War Dog. Welcome to 2020, everyone. First episode of the new year. I want to take time with this episode to go into detail about what Sergeant War Dog TV is, what the War Dog Trail podcast and blog are about, and basically how this all started. As you already know, I am a grunt, marine, infantryman, rifleman, 0311, marine sergeant, 3 tours in Iraq, first day over the war in 2003, once we crossed the border. Again in 04, again in 05. I'm going to stop harping on that. I know you get tired of hearing it over and over. Just try to give you some context so you understand that I have been there on the ground. I am a door kicker. I am a war fighter. I'm the one who kicks in your door and comes in. I'm the one that you might find in your bushes or on a rooftop surveilling you from 700 yards away.
gratefully, was able to survive, go on from there to attend college at UCF in Orlando, Florida, U.S. Central Florida. I majored in international relations and comparative politics, which is within the political science degree track. Before I left active duty with the Marines, while I was also an instructor in their Mojave Viper program at the Marine Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms, I also took a course in forensic science from the American Institute of Applied Science. And I was able to gain my certification in that as well, which had always been a big plan of mine from the start. Even before considering speaking to the Marines, I wanted to major in forensic science as a trace evidence examiner working in a crime lab. You know, working with hairs, fibers, soil, question documents, ballistics. I'm sorry, I'm a little out of the realm of, out of what a trace examiner would do alone, but anywhere within the field of criminalistics, forensics, that was all me. So I decided early on that I either wanted to earn a degree in forensics from the University of Central Florida in my hometown of Orlando, or attend Eastern Kentucky University, which also had a great program in forensics. I guess the biggest part of the adventure in me had to get out of Orlando, had to see the rest of the world. I mean, how can you not? Our generation, right? We've been informed of so much. We've had our eyes open to so much. Why not want to treat the world like it's your playground, right, baby? So, I had every intention on attending Eastern Kentucky University. I was accepted in 5 colleges during my senior year of high school. UCF, Florida International University, Morehouse College, Eastern Kentucky University, and Jacksonville State U. Now, of those, 3 happened to be out of state, the state of Florida. But as any student knows, once you leave your state, you're going to incur those, you know, out-of-state student fees as far as admissions. So what I did was, I had not only been accepted into UCF, I was also interviewed later and accepted into their Lead Scholars Program, which is, you know, basically like their honors program for undergrads. After that acceptance, I finally did take a tour of Eastern Kentucky U on my own. Happened to be working as a stockman at Kmart at the time. After I'd get out of high school, I took a few days off, saved up, bought myself a Greyhound ticket, and, you know, let my mother know, let my family know what I was doing. Got myself a hotel room. And made the ride up to Kentucky on my own, man. So since I was 18, I've been all about getting out, doing my own thing, man. Not in a rebellious way, just in a way that I knew I was going to take a different path. I knew there's things that I needed to see and needed to do. Whether it was from a Marine perspective, because at the time I was only considering going in, into the Marines as a reservist. And back then, I was actually thinking of becoming an MP, man, military police. Only because it would all fall back into helping me with the forensic science field and whatnot. But I took that trip up to EKU. Got to meet the great forensic science director there. Brought back some souvenirs from the forensics program. And I was just excited, man, that, you know, I knew where I was going. I knew what I was going to do. I was ready to continue that plan. Let's see. Now, somewhere along the way, even though I still had the in-state options to go to UCF and their in-state, lead scholars program, I was also, like I said, accepted into Florida International U, a little further down south, closer to the Miami area, Fort Lauderdale or so. I was going to be able to go to FIU for free also, thanks to the few academic scholarships, namely the Florida Bright Futures Scholarship, which ended up playing a very big role in helping me after my active duty time, because I didn't know that they actually honored your military service. So if you showed them your DD-214 after your service ended, you could still get access to the scholarship that you were awarded while you were in high school. But I'm sorry, continuing on. Long story short, EKU accepted me into their forensics program. But as an out-of-state student, I was not given priority for academic scholarships, because those went to the in-state students. So once I got that, letter telling me that my scholarship options were going to be limited to go out of state, that's when I locked in on the Marines and I knew what I needed to do. And since at the time forensics was going to be put on hold, postponed, I decided I didn't want to just be a reservist, man. I want to be full-time, baby. Active duty. All day, every day. Living a Marine life. Traveling the world. So, the next step was to decide to change from the MP field, military police, to straight infantry, baby. Because I wanted to go from the infantry to recon and on the force recon. Can't explain to you how much, you know, the whole aspect of being a grunt, being on the ground, patrolling, learning survival techniques, learning self-defense, weapons, traveling, meeting great, you know, fellas from across the country. Well, that was it. I let the recruiter know that I was ready to go full-time active duty, that I wanted to now become a grunt. And we set off on that journey. Headed down to MEPS, which MEPS is the Military Entrance Processing Station down in Tampa, Florida. Was taken down there, took my ASVAB. I scored a 90 on the ASVAB. So immediately the recruiter tried to get me to choose other fields besides the infantry, because the grunts don't require very high ASVAB score, or at least they didn't at the time back in 2002. So he tried to sell me on a bunch of other options, you know, telling me things I've had security clearances for, et cetera, but he couldn't push me off that that infantry option, baby. That 03 field, that's me. All day, every day. I've always been down with manhunting, SWAT teams, special ops. That's always been my thing. And once I hit 17, age 17, I knew. I knew that that's, you know, where I fit. That's where a person of my mold would most be effectively used and be able to serve society the best as a productive citizen. Oh, As I told you back in episode one, I graduated high school in May of 2002. And within 3 weeks of that graduation, baby, recruiter came by my house, knocked on the door. And I was working late nights back then, so I guess I didn't hear his knock from my upstairs bedroom. But he left the door telling me he had an opening in boot camp right then and there. I didn't need to wait, you know, 2 or 3 more months and not head in until August. That he had an opening and that he'd be back at a certain time to pick me up because I was headed out to boot camp that day. Hey, I told you, man. After finding out that news about EKU, I was kind of stuck in limbo as far as not wanting to stay in state and wanting to explore my other options in life, man, and the world. So, I saw his letter. I immediately notified my parents, you know, what was coming, what happened. Went to Kmart, cashed my last check. It was about, I don't know, $375, $380 or so. I kept $20, gave the rest to my mom. Let the recruiter know I was ready. He came by my house, picked me up with 2 other buddies of mine that I knew from high school. And we all headed back down to the MEPS, down to Tampa, so that we could begin the process of the Marine life. All right, this is the end of episode 5, The War Gone Trail. Salute, baby.
All I know is war. All I know is shoot. All I want is more. But I got some things to do. I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you.
DB Radio.